Well, we've got ourselves an Emergency Hoop Collective podcast here. We wouldn't have done this podcast if the trade went through as reported. But the three-way trade that failed between the Wizards, Suns, and Grizzlies tonight is so bizarre that it merits a three-way podcast. All right, three-way podcast and an emergency podcast. We had to have our front office insider Bobby Marks, who's joining us from his home in Naples, Florida, and we wanted Kevin Pelton, but he's at the Blazers Raptors game right now, so I guess we have to settle for you, Andrew Hahn, in Los Angeles.
I tried to get Zach Lowe too, but that was no dice too.
Yeah, because Zach like has an Android phone or something. I'm kidding. That's not why. Do we need to recap? I guess absolutely, we'll recap just in case. Okay. So, and I think it's important to point out the reporting here. So Woj breaks the story that there's a three-way trade between Washington, Memphis, and Phoenix, and that Trevor Ariza is going to go to Washington. So that's a big factor, a big part of the trade. Ariza is, eligible to be traded on the 15th Saturday. Some teams had been interested in him. Obviously, the Lakers were one of them. So it was a matter of waiting for the pieces and parts. And I know that I got a couple of texts from some front office people who said, "Who's in the trade?" And I go, "I'm trying to find out." And so subsequent reporting from Woj and some others that the trade is Trevor Ariza to Washington, Kelly Oubre, and Austin Rivers to Austin Rivers to Phoenix, and Oubre to Memphis. And then a couple of picks were involved, a couple of second-round picks. We won't worry about that right now. And then a couple of, I don't know, I guess you'd call them prospects, role players, I think the coach called them. Fillers.
Rotational fillers.
Wayne Selden and Woj reported at first that it was Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks is in his second year. He was a wing player from – he went to Oregon, was had a good year last year, has been injured most of this season. I think he's getting close to coming back, though. I think I saw a report this week that he was a short time away.
Rotation guy.
Yeah, certainly a prospect player, second-year player. Then Woj clarified and said that it was not Dylan Brooks, but it was Marshawn Brooks. And I'm going to be honest with you, Bobby. I did not know Marshawn Brooks was still in the NBA.
Well, we drove him out in Brooklyn. He was in the Avery doghouse for 2 years, and then he had to go find himself in Siberia for a couple of years, and then he came back, and he had a resurgence last year for that 22-60 Memphis team.
Right. Well, I'm kidding. I knew he was on Memphis, but I mean, you'd have caught me by surprise that he was in the league. Once believed to be the centerpiece of a Dwight Howard trade.
That is correct.
Which we can get to in a second, but I want to get through all this. So then we have John Gambo. Gambo is his nickname. He's a radio host in Phoenix. And Gambo breaks a lot of Suns news. And frankly, he breaks a lot of Suns news because he clearly has a relationship with Robert Sarver, the owner. And John Gambo reports that it is not Marshawn Brooks, that it is Dylan Brooks. And this is the first time we have, in my mind, a red flag, Bobby. Because when Gambo says that, what that means to me is that that's who Robert Sarver, and not necessarily the Suns front office, but that's who Robert Sarver thinks that they're getting.
And then simultaneously, Chris Harrington in Memphis says that sources confirmed to him that it's Marshawn Brooks.
Right. Now, this is, again, we're going to get now we're rubbing our hands together, Bobby, because Harrington obviously has Grizzly sources. He's now, I think, the longest standing writer who writes about the Grizzlies because Ron Tillery, their longtime beat writer, recently left his job. So now we have a genuine situation here. And long story short, the trade breaks down because we got the wrong Brooks. And so, Bobby, I'm just going to yield to you. What did you think as you were watching this all go down?
when you take a deep breath and you like start to analyzing, the trade made no sense for Phoenix if it was involving Marshawn Brooks. It didn't. I mean, you had an expiring contract, a prized asset, and you know Trevor Ariza, and you were getting you know Austin Rivers, Wayne Selden, and Marshawn Brooks, and you weren't even getting any second round picks here. So
yeah, 1 second round pick went to Washington, 1 second round pick went to Memphis, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and so then you think of it. Okay, where did the communication break down? And for what's come out is that basically all three teams were not on a conference call together. They were kind of like their own like independent contractors in this deal, where the information was being transferred back and forth. Where you usually on a three teamer, even in this four players, you get on a call between to confirm that this is what we're doing. And that's kind of where, before you do anything with the league, because you wouldn't have been able to do a conference call with the league until tomorrow anyway, but you get on a call, and I know there's two Brookses involved, but even so, you're not relying on Washington to kind of be the go-between to deal with Phoenix and Memphis. So I've never seen this happen before. I was kidding around with Kevin Pelton earlier. The closest it's ever happened, and this is a funny story, is that in 2006, we thought we were getting the second overall pick in the draft from Chicago, and we were going to pick LaMarcus Aldridge. And it wound up being that Chicago was offering us their second first-round pick in the draft, which was pick 16 and turned into Rodney Carney. So that's the closest that we've ever come to backing out of it or a deal agreed upon. And going from there, but I've never seen it to this magnitude where we've got four players involved.
So it's not unusual for a team to shop another team's player in a three-team deal. Right, Bobby? I mean, that happens where, if you are team A, you have a player that you can acquire from team B that you want to move on. So you call team C and say, hey, we got this guy, even though he's not on your roster. That happens.
I think it happened last week, Brian, with the Sam Decker Jason Smith trade. I think with Milwaukee getting Decker and then saying, well, let's see what we can turn him into. We do not need Sam Decker, and that kind of came in a little bit late. But if you know you're getting certain guys that you don't want to keep, you have the free liberty to go out and shop him.
Well, let me just give you a little bit of. Now that you bring that up, Woj and I were reporting on the aspects of that trade. And when we reported initially, it was just Milwaukee and Cleveland. And there was a bit of a deadline, actually, to go there. It's kind of a strange deadline because you had to get the trade in by the end of business last Friday to be able to re-aggregate the players again before the trade deadline. So if you trade for a player – you can't retrade him in a deal that includes other players for 2 months. Is it 2 months or 60 days?
Yeah, 2 months. Yeah, 60. Yeah. 2 months. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you wanted to get a player that you could try to flip for later, now you can trade him in an individual trade. So it's kind of a soft deadline, but the Cavs, it mattered for the Cavs because they were going to try to, they're obviously going to try to retrade some of these guys that they got. They were trying to get this deal done by 5 o'clock, and I was told the deal wasn't going to happen, the three-way trade with Washington, like it had fallen apart and wasn't going to happen. And I was talking to one team who said, no, it's happened, it's done. And I was talking to another team who said, no, it's not going to happen, it fell apart. And like Woj and I had to wait for like I was literally talking to one team, telling them I think it fell apart, and the team was like, "What are you talking about? We got it. It's done." And so, this, I don't know if Washington being involved here had anything to do with it, but that did just happen last Friday. It wasn't really relevant. I never wasn't going to think about it again. And now, this is interesting. But I mean, Bobby, like in trade talks, like you're just throwing around Brooks. I mean. I guess I could see how it could happen, but I just can't believe that it got to the point where there was an agreement on a trade and the players were informed before this got caught.
I agree. I mean, usually, Brian, there's either an email chain, as I said, there's either an email chain going on with the three teams with the players spelled out, or there's a conference call with the general managers. And to have it get this far, where clearly Memphis thought it was Marshawn. I assume Washington thought it was – I mean, they probably could care less. I mean,
right, they don't care. Brooks, we don't care, whatever.
Yeah. And if you're Phoenix, you're thinking it's Dylan Brooks because, A, he's, as you said, he's a nice wing. He's still under contract. I think he's got a non-guaranteed for next year. He played in the Rising Stars, during All-Star Weekend in 2018, and got some potential instead of kind of three guys that won't be on your roster. So, yeah, to get to a point where it's agreed upon and then kind of it's out there, and now to kind of have now we've got Major League cleanup here.
Oh my God, with the players,
League. I mean, the Washington situation was dysfunctional as it is, right? So now you've got a – now can you imagine that bus going out of Brooklyn? You've got, Trevor Ariza and –
it's a long ride to –
I mean, with Austin Rivers and Kelly Oubre.
I'm sure they're flying out of Newark, right? Well, maybe they're staying – I don't know what their schedule is, but maybe they're staying tonight. They better hope they're staying tonight.
Brian, Bobby, I'm just going to update you on the goings-ons of Twitter while you're discussing this. Woj tweets that Washington believed it was told Dylan Brooks in conversation with Memphis, and the Grizzlies are insisting that they told Washington Marshawn. And simultaneously, the Wizards had a game in Brooklyn tonight, and the players were told post-game of the trade, and Austin Rivers and Kelly Oubre were both being, consoled by team members.
Right. This is what we were talking about.
Yep.
So this is what Bobby just said about being in Brooklyn. I got to look and see who the Wizards play tomorrow.
I hope they didn't leave them there.
Because if they're traveling that's a long drive to Newark Airport. I assume they're flying out of Newark.
They're out of Newark. They are, they play the Lakers on Sunday. So hopefully those two are on the bus going to Newark Airport right now, and not in a town car going to wherever to Phoenix.
Yeah, sometimes teams stay in New York. My guess is though they were flying back to D.C. tonight.
Yeah,
but boy, what a ride across two rivers, Bobby. I mean, and it's Friday night. There's traffic. It's a long ride.
You know what I would have done, Brian? Because usually how it works, with the buses, you've got two buses.
Two buses.
First bus is you got an early and a later bus. It's usually the players are usually on that second bus. Media is usually on that first, which is TV and radio. If I was Ernie Grunfeld or Tommy Shepard, who's their assistant GM, I would make sure I'm not on that player bus.
Get an Uber
in the front, and I'm getting right on the plane and I'm like putting a blanket over my head.
Or just stay in New York tonight and take the shuttle down in the morning. So is it possible that this could have happened, Bobby, because there were games going on tonight and teams were in the middle of playing? Memphis played tonight. Washington played tonight. I think Phoenix was off tonight. But could this have been because this all came together during games that they didn't get on the same page?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think that if this was something that happened at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, then you wouldn't have seen, Rivers and Oubre, Marshawn play tonight. So you wouldn't have seen those guys playing in tonight. So yeah, I think a lot of it had to do with the timing of it. They were in a window when games were going on. I'm sure there was probably text messages going back and forth, probably not actual, human communication. And I think that probably stems where a lot of the confusion was.
Bobby, is it possible that this trade could get resuscitated? Could someone put something else in there for Phoenix to take Marshawn?
Unless you're looking at multiple picks now, but I don't know what additional second round picks does it for. Does it for Phoenix? I think they had an eye that it was going to be Dylan Brooks and they were going to get a nice, nice young wing player there. So, I think this deal is dead. I mean, unless we're talking Washington and, Phoenix directly, the two teams, and Oubre goes to, Oubre goes to Phoenix, but then you're gonna have to figure out what you want to do with Kelly Oubre. You're gonna have to pay him or let him go next summer. Where you had Dylan Brooks on a $1.6 million contract.
So right now, don't you think Washington and Phoenix are working the phones to find another place for Kelly Oubre? Isn't that's the way to fix this, right?
Yes,
is to find a deal that that Phoenix can get. And by the way, the standard isn't that high. That wasn't much of a haul. Because they essentially moved Oubre for Seldon and they thought it was Dylan Brooks, but that standard is not that high.
The other thing that came out of this is that, the reports were that Sarver was dead set on not trading Ariza to the Lakers. I mean, that kind of tips their hand a little early, don't you think?
Well, I suppose. I think the Lakers deal is very complicated. Because if you do Ariza for KCP and the Suns don't want KCP, so now you've got to find a landing spot for KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. If you're this deep in this podcast, you know who that I'm talking about. Not only do you got to find a spot for him, but he has veto power on a trade. So now he's got a trade kicker, 15% trade kicker, so he would get a nice
1.1, I think it's right now. Yeah, somewhere around there.
You know, chances are the Lakers are not going to re-sign him anyway, so the loss of his bird rights isn't necessarily, like, devastating. But still, I mean, that's threading two needles. You know, he's not going to go to a place where he would possibly be the eighth man, I don't think. So I think regardless of that report that Sarver doesn't want to deal with the Lakers, which I'm sure he doesn't, because they let – Tyson Chandler go, and he went to LA, and they've been much better since then. It's going to be hard to make the trade if it's for Caldwell Pope. Bobby, do you agree with that?
I do. I think you kind of know what the parameters are now, Brian, what Phoenix is looking for. You know, they're looking for, not draft picks, because, you know, I don't think they were getting anything substantial back. I think they're looking for a young player that's on a manageable, you know, on a nice manageable contract that's not expiring.
And they're not looking for Brooks. Not just any Brooks.
And no, there's no Brooks, or hopefully there's no Plumleys involved in the next one, right?
Oh, I mean, God almighty,
can you imagine that one? That would be, if you think you're getting Mason and not Miles, I mean, geez.
Oh, man. So, Bobby, like, what do you, like, if you're Ernie Grunfeld, you're James Jones, like, how are you managing your owner? Like, how does this, you know, hat in hand. I mean, what do you do here? Are you like blaming somebody else? Are you blaming the intern? Are you blaming, you know, what are you doing?
Well, you're not blaming the fax machine because you don't have that anymore to kind of when you're faxing back and forth.
Yeah, like it was blurry. He wrote M. Brooks, but it looked like a D.
The only thing you could do is that you trust the people that were communicating. If you're Ernie, you trust Tommy Shepard that it was, you know, but Marshawn or Dylan involved, whatever, you know, the communication. And if you're James Jones in Phoenix, you're trusting the guy that work, you know, who works for you as your number two, or if it was James directly here. So yeah, I mean, now you've got to go back and manage your owner. I think it's a little bit easier probably, in Phoenix in Washington with Ted Leonsis compared to Robert Sarver in Phoenix, because now you know there's a timetable to move Trevor Ariza. Now, you know, the clock starts, you know, in about, you know, 10 minutes. We're close to midnight here. So that now you've got to manage and figure out where's the next best place to be for him.
So this has been a particularly difficult week for Robert Sarver, because he had a vote that was supposed to be in the city council. And look, I'm not up on Phoenix politics, so I don't have all the ins and outs. But from what I've read, they had a vote in the city council to get him $150 million. Now, again, I want to clarify here. I don't know how the Phoenix City Council normally operates, but Bobby, typically you don't schedule that vote unless you think you're going to win it. So when that vote was scheduled, Robert Sarver must have thought he had the votes. This is kind of like Seattle a few years ago. Seattle scheduled a vote basically to build a new arena, and all of a sudden there was a woman who flipped, and all of a sudden they didn't have the votes. They went from one up to one down. and it was a devastating blow. And now there's not a new arena in Phoenix or in Seattle. They're building or renovating the other one. And so here this vote was on, and it was clear that he had lost support and the vote was not going to happen. And in conjunction with that, a rumor came out, a story came out in the Phoenix, in the Arizona Republic, that said that Sarver was threatening to move the team. He was forced to put out a video statement saying that he was not intending to move the team, but it opened him up to ridicule, which that woman who spoke at the city council meeting went viral, her ridiculing him. So it was already a week where Robert Sarver had another, you know, was taken and, you know, holding some more L's, as they say. And then this happens tonight. I wouldn't want to be
for, you know, changing the conversation. We're certainly not going to talk wag about the that dog. Anymore. Yeah.
Well, they did get a win against Dallas, if that's any consolation.
They did. It was a road win. That was a big one. That'll turn everything around for them. By the way, do you even like the idea of Austin Rivers in the backcourt with Booker?
No.
I didn't like that at all.
As soon as that came out an hour and a half ago, I put Austin Rivers on my buyout board.
I had a league executive. I was talking with the league executives, texting with them. I go, doesn't this fit seem bad? And he goes, I wonder if they're just going to cut him immediately. Now, I don't, he was just guessing, but you know, there you have it. Bobby has a good feel.
I'm just going to tease the fact that normally whenever there's a trade that happens, Kevin Pelton puts out his trade grades, everyone
within 3 to 6 minutes.
He was already commissioned to start working up the trade. We were collecting the details from him, and then all this hijinks happened. But if people wanted a clue as to what Pelton was going to grade this trade, if it had gone through with Marshawn Brooks, it's very rare. Pelton is a very hard grader, but he doesn't pull this out often. There was an F out there.
Oh my God.
And that's what I asked KP. I wanted the mystery solved, and I wanted to know what it would be. And I was waiting for that trade grade to happen because, as I said earlier, like it, after we digested it, it just didn't. The trade didn't make sense for Phoenix.
So Marshawn Brooks, he had a really good rookie year, right? What was that? What year was that, Bobby?
That was 2010-11.
Okay.
We drafted him in that and actually here's another funny story to tie in. So that pick that we drafted him, what we actually moved up a couple slots, and we acquired that in a December 15th trade. As I was emailing you early in the week, Brian, when we traded Terrence Williams and got two number ones, one of those picks was used to move up to draft Marshawn Brooks, and that was the last time a trade happened on December 15th.
That's right. The Brooklyn, I guess, were you the Brooklyn Nets then, or New Jersey?
New Jersey Nets. We're the Newark Nets.
The Newark Nets. that's right. Oh, those two glorious seasons. Traded. How did you do that deal? You traded.
We traded Terrence Williams to Houston. We got Sasha Vujicic, who we thought was the, you know, we thought he was Ray Allen because he was the only guy that could make a 3-pointer on our team when we got him.
You didn't think he was Ray Allen. You just thought he was Ray
no,
Allen.
No, I think our roster comprised of guys shooting below 30% from three. And I think Sasha came in and made like three threes in his first game. We're like, wow, shoot.
I didn't even remember that Sasha played for the Rockets. So that tells you where I'm at. All right.
Well, no, yeah, he came from the Lakers. We traded Joe Smith to the Lakers. We got Sasha. Terrence Williams went to Houston, and we wound up getting a first from the Lakers and a first from Houston.
What a great freaking trade.
And then, as I said in the email, then everything went downhill from there.
So they drafted Marshawn Brooks, and I remember vividly Marshawn Brooks was you know, viewed as this real prospect. Potential Dwight Howard trade when Orlando and New Jersey were talking. And I remember when you didn't trade for Dwight Howard and then traded for Joe Johnson, I remember like part of the story out of New York was, oh my God, they got Joe Johnson and they didn't have to give up Marshawn Brooks.
And it's funny, in Marshawn, in talking about confusion of trades, when we did that, the infamous Boston trade, originally Marshawn Brooks was not involved in the trade. I believe Reggie Evans was involved in the trade. And that was one of those, like, we're not going to blow up this trade because of Marshawn Brooks or Reggie Evans. And we added, and Marshawn was involved, and we took Reggie out.
Well, Marshawn, all these years later, blew up a trade. And by the way, I can't, it has to, it can't be a great night in the life of Marshawn Brooks.
I just want to go ahead and give you guys another update here, because Gambo just tweeted again. The Suns had multiple conversations with the Memphis Grizzlies over the last 24 hours about Dylan Brooks. Any information that the Suns had no contact with the Grizzlies and only Washington is wrong. The Suns checked medicals on Dylan Brooks. It's going to be a he said on Twitter for at least through the weekend.
Right. Well, at the end of the day, it's embarrassing. The actual details may matter for people trying to justify, you know, that they didn't have the blame within these offices. Within these individual offices, but it just is, it's a laughable situation that will be remembered. I mean, this trade is not an NBA altering trade. Mildly interesting. Oubre, actually, I thought Memphis did great in the way it was openly reported. You know, Oubre would have been a nice addition to them, but I mean, I don't think it's, you know, changing the face of the league. I mean, I don't even think Trevor Ariza makes that big of a difference in Washington. They gave up one of their key rotation players.
We definitely would not have done a podcast if we traded.
No way. But now it will be remembered for at least some period of time, and all parties will be embarrassed. There's not, you're right, Andrew. It can be he said, but all parties are being embarrassed. And Bobby, I tend to think that just because of the nature of things and reputations, that it'll be Robert Sarver who ends up taking this one over the course of time.
Oh, I agree.
And even if it's not his fault, it's just his reputation is so rugged that I think he takes it.
Yeah, and the smoking gun theory of, you know, that they reviewed medicals on Dylan Brooks doesn't really hold much water anymore. Maybe 10 years ago, but nowadays, back, you know, 10 years ago, you would send them the medicals. Nowadays, everything is in a database that your trainers have access to.
Oh.
So if you want to look up, you know, in another player or go through there, you can do that.
So yeah, so it's not like like the last step before a trade. We
That's
will
even funnier.
We will curry
Dylan Brooks medical on a computer, and you're like, yeah, Brooks. Brooks is what we want.
Well, that's like didn't like somebody make a bad vote on you know, in the voting a couple years ago, because in the drop down menu they like had the wrong James, like because when you make votes for like MVP and Rookie of the Year and stuff, there's like big drop down menus. You have every player in the league. What if they just scroll down and, you know, it was, you know, Brooks, Dylan, Brooks, Marshawn, and they clicked the wrong Brooks, and that was where the mistake was right from the start.
Right,
you know,
right.
It could have been that.
Well, they could have thought there was not even a Marshawn Brooks on that roster.
Well, that's really the thing, is that, you know, there's two Brooks on the same roster. And, you know, you'd think – this is one of those things where you think there would be a joke, like they would get their uniforms mixed up. Like, you know, when they check into a hotel, Marshawn gets Dylan's bags, you know, or something like that. You know, it's sort of a joke, but the fact that they could be mistaken in a trade – man, it's an all-timer, Bobby. It's an all-timer.
Well, I guess it could have been worse. It could have happened on February 7th. So at least we got another 2 months of this.
Oh, my God. That's right. Well, I thought of Tanguy Ngombo, which it wasn't quite the same, but it was a total screw-up. It was a paperwork screw-up where the David Kahn, who, by the way, David Kahn bears a resemblance to Robert Sarver. I just want to point that out. There was a paperwork snafu, and the Timberwolves drafted a guy who was not even draft eligible. Not only that, they traded for him and bought him, like paid real hard money, cash.
And that trade cost me my son's preschool graduation, because we were part of that deal, because we were acquiring the rights for Bojan Bogdanovic, and it was like
good
a 5-16. Yeah, it was a good trade. And it was like six teams were involved, and we were in a holding pattern because of a guy that they drafted that wasn't even like eligible.
And they were out like real money, right? And the league said you can't draft him. Right. And they were like, tough luck, right? Isn't that right?
That's how it went. Norris Cole was involved in that deal too. I think Norris was going to Miami.
Oh my God. All right. Well, thank you for listening to our Hoop Collective Emergency Pod. God only knows. I kind of feel like there'll be much more on this before the weekend is out. So we'll see. But oh, wait a minute. Dylan Brooks just tweeted. Hashtag go Grizz. So I hope he's still a Grizz by tomorrow morning. All right. Thanks for listening. And thanks for Bobby for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks to me, too.
Yeah, and of course, Andrew, it goes without saying. It goes without saying so much that we're not going to say.